We thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a great day, and I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know that many of you did. You've already expressed that. We still have a number of folks that are out of town today, and that's reflected this morning. But anyway, we're glad that you're here. We do have visitors among us, and we hope that you'll come again. In conjunction with that, we announced earlier, Henry did, that we would have Children's Bible Hour tonight. But that has been rescheduled. We will not have Bible Hour tonight. We traditionally do not the week of Thanksgiving because so many people are out of town. And so if you'll make a note of that, we appreciate it. Sometimes it's kind of hard for us to get it all together up here and trying to remember everything that we want to remember. I heard about two elderly ladies one time who had been friends for really a number of decades. And over the years, they had shared various kinds of activities and adventures together. Well, lately their activities had been limited to meeting a few times a week to play cards or dominoes. Well, one day they were playing cards when one of them looked at the other and said, "Now, don't get mad at me, but I know we've been friends for a long, long time, but I just can't remember your name. I've thought and I thought, but I can't recall it. Please tell me what your name is." Well, her friend glared at her for a few moments. As a matter of fact, for at least about 10 minutes. She looked at her and finally said, "How soon do you need to know?" Well, there are times in life when we all have tendencies to forget. And so we hope for your forbearance when we do that. We are glad you're here this morning, and it's always a wonderful time to be able to come together and praise and honor the God that we love and really get connected to God. And that's why our lesson is all about this morning. How do we get connected to the promises of God? When you read the Bible, they are numerous. The Bible promises are so profound, and when you read them not only in the Old Testament but even in the New Testament, you will find that there are so many of them. We often sing that grand old song, "Standing on the Promises of God." We do stand on them this morning because there are so many, and they're wonderful promises of God. And I'm convinced that we need to let God's promises shine upon us in our life. When we go through our problems in life, and we often face those, I mentioned that in our Bible class this morning. But we need to let the promises of God shine upon our problems. For we know in the book of Romans 8 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul would write and say, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" There is no foe, there is no force greater than the Almighty God of heaven, the one who created, the one who sustains, and the one who rules this universe upon which you and I live. I'm so thankful today that we serve a living God. We serve a God who is very much alive and well and control of all that is going on in our world. But the promises of God are so numerous. When the Apostle Peter would write concerning the promises of God, and if you have your Bible or you'd like to look up on the screen, we'll have the passages up here for you. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 5 through 11, Peter would write about those promises of God in this way. He said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control or temperance, to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted," he says, "even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be granted or supplied unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises that through these, now notice what he says, you may be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For if these things are yours and they abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, he talks about these great and precious promises that he has made unto you. Have you ever thought about all the promises of God that are yours today? He made many of them directly in the Bible to various people, but he speaks to us indirectly today. He promises forgiveness of sin. He promises us the hope of heaven. He promises a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that cannot be taken away, John 14 and verse 27. He promises unto us the joy of the Lord, Philippians chapter 4. So I trust today in the power of God. Do you know that there are many today that are seeking power in this life? There are. We have a lot of people today that are power hungry. We see it in our government. We see it in our community. We see it sometimes even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it everywhere. We see it internationally around the world. When you look at all the problems that are going on between the Hamas and the Israelis and the Afghanistans and those of Pakistan and many places around the world, you can see that there is a hunger for this one thing, and that is power. Well, I'm telling you this morning that there is a superlative power to all of this, and this is the power that God gives unto us, and he gives it unto us through the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16. Do you know that God has given you a guarantee? When we get plugged in and connected to his promises, I'm going to tell you, God grants unto us a productive life. He does. Notice again, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, for if these things, and he's talking about the Christian graces, he said, if these things be in you and they abound, that is, they continue, it's not something that you get superficially charged up about at the moment and then forget it. But he said, if these things be in you and they abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, goodness, not just being good, but that word virtue in the Greek language means to do good, not just being good. But he said, add unto your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control, perseverance, don't give up, to perseverance, godliness, to be like God, pure in heart. And godliness, brotherly kindness, and affection for one another. And then even beyond that, he says, to brotherly kindness, you add love. Now, let me share with you this morning three things that I think that are extremely important for us. If we're really going to connect to these great promises of God, and I want to tell you right up front here this morning, that if we're not connected to God, the promises of God do not belong unto us. They don't. The Bible said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purposes, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Peter's writing to Christians here who are connected unto God. So let me tell you how you do that this morning. And that really is what we need to know, isn't it? I would tell you, first of all, that we need to make it a priority in our lives. We do. What is priority with you? 2 Peter 1, 5 again says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add unto your faith. That is, make it a priority in life. What is priority for you? What do you really put first in your life? What is number one in your life? Jesus says, wherever your heart is, there is your treasure also. Or wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Matthew chapter 6. So we really focus our affection on the things that we treasure in life. So what do you treasure in your life? What is priority with you? When people are not concerned and connected to God, they have no power. And someone has appropriately said that where there is no power for the present, there is no hope for the future. And it is true. If you don't have power in your life right now, that is the power of God, you have no hope for the future. Do you realize that as Christians, we are connected one to another? Now, I know a lot of people don't like that idea, or they don't think about it. I've heard people say, I don't want to be a Lone Ranger Christian. I don't want fellowship. I don't want people. I don't want to be around people. I just want to be a Christian in my own right, isolated from the rest of the world, but yes, isolated from the church. I don't know why it is sometimes, the ideas that we have in life. Sometimes, someone said one time, at 20, we worry about what other people think about us. At 40, we don't care what other people think about us. And at 60, we discovered that they hadn't even been thinking about us at all. Well, believe it or not, in life, you and I are connected to one another. You and I are children of God. We are Christians. We are, and we have to work together. Someone said one time, but doesn't God change us supernaturally? Doesn't He change us supernaturally? And the answer to that is a great affirming yes. Yes, He does. He does. Supernaturally, meaning, however, through His own method. Do you know God has a way of changing us supernaturally? We don't always understand that. We don't always understand how it happens, but He does. God brings about change in our lives that we don't even understand. I, through the years, have had the opportunity to be around a lot of people and lead people to Christ and see them obey the gospel and remain faithful unto Christ. And I'm telling you, they do that because they follow the method of Christ in order to get there. That's how they do it. He does use His method. Let me ask you a question, though. Do you know what His method looks like this morning? He tells us that we are to make it a priority. Again, that is His will. His will is priority. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, there it is, priority, add to your faith. You see, there are just some things in life that have to be stamped priority. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been in an office somewhere and you look on someone's desk and they have certain papers there and, you know, it's just stamped priority? Stamp red. Important. Well, believe it or not, you and I need to stamp the will of God and say it is priority in my life. For Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Priority. You see, when we make it priority, God blesses us. He does. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I just don't understand all this. Well, we can still praise God in the midst of our trials and difficulties in this life. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you do when things go wrong in your life? What do you do? Well, a lot of people throw up their hands, they pitch in the towel, they're ready to acquiesce, they're ready to say, no more, it's all over for me. But we have to remember the loving care of Almighty God who watches over us when we're going through trials and temptations. In the book of Psalms 91 and verse 4, the Bible teaches us that He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings, the Bible says. His faithful promises are your armor. Listen to this. They are your armor and your protection. And there is absolutely nothing to fear about tomorrow. Do you know that a lot of people go through life fearing tomorrow? We worry about tomorrow. We worry about next week. We worry about all kinds of things in this life that are futile. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Well, if all of that is true, why are some people maturing in Christ and others are not? You ever really wondered that? Why some people really mature in Christ? And I've seen people who've grown into spiritual maturity. I'm telling you, I don't think we ever really totally get there. I think it's something, Paul says, I've not apprehended that for which I've been apprehended. I keep reaching forth for that prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. But why is it that some people are developing spiritually and others are not? Well, many fail to prevail because they fail to make God priority in their life. And here is the process. Make it a priority. But then there is a second thing that you must do, and that is to measure your success and your progress. How many of you really ever take an inventory of your life? Sometimes you have to make changes in your life. Sometimes changes are not real well. I heard about a guy who walked into a friend's office one time and he found his friend sitting at his desk. And he looked a little disenchanted as to what was going on, very depressed as a matter of fact. And his friend asked him, he said, man, he said, hey, what's up with you? And he said, oh, it's my wife. She's hired me a new secretary, believe it or not. And the friend looked at him, he says, well, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, is she blonde or is she brunette? And he said, neither, he's bald. Well, believe it or not, there are some changes that we may not like in life, but they are nonetheless there. God brings about change in our life also. And we have to measure our progress in life. Measure our progress. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. Says, for if these things be in you and abound, you will neither, listen to it, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we understand what it means to measure, don't we? In every arena of life, we understand the concept of incremental growth, do we not? Surely you understand it in your life. Let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of incremental growth have you made as a Christian in the last year? Are you stronger today or are you weaker? We understand this in every year. We understand it with weight gain and weight loss. I understand it. We've gained weight, but come January, we're going to go through this weight loss. You're going to take the clothes off the treadmill again. And you're going to really be ready to kick in one more time and try to lose the weight. Well, the Bible obviously teaches that there are some things that we gain and some weight that we need to shed and get rid of, spiritually speaking. Even when it comes to earning money, we understand the process, do we not, of earning it? There are some people who are constantly trying to chase the dollar. There are some people who live to make money. I mean, there are some people who feel that chasing that almighty dollar is the most important thing in all of this world. It is not. And folks, let me tell you something else. The world doesn't owe you a living. The way that we make a living and God provides the way, we have to work for it. And that is the way it comes. And we understand that. No work, no blessing. You see, the blessings of God come to us. And we have to measure our progress in our relationship with Him. If we're going to tap into the promises of God, you better measure your progress. Because if God's promises are contingent upon, think about it, if God's promises are contingent upon what we do, and I think they are, I believe that we need to be giving more priority to the things that are important and start measuring our progress along the way. Am I growing as a Christian? Am I developing as a child of God? You see, you grow into holiness. You do. You grow day by day. You can grow by day. People don't always grow day by day. Let me just ask you a question. In the month of November, have you been growing as a child of God? Have you been growing day by day? Have you been growing week by week? How about month by month? How about year by year in your life, spiritually speaking? Are you increasing in your measure of faith? If you have, when the year 2013 arrives, and by the way, it's not far off. As a matter of fact, in a little over a month, the year 2013 will be here. Can you believe that? That 2012 is just about gone. But when 2013 arrives, it will provide additional opportunities for spiritual growth. And you know what? We ought to be excited spiritually. We ought to be saying, wow, about all these wonderful promises of God. We ought to be thrilled and charged up because we are connected to God. There is no greater connection in all of the world, folks, than to be connected to the Almighty. We need to measure our progress. And there again, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For if these things be new, and they abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that brings me to the third thing that we need to do in order for us to connect to the promises of God. And that is that we must maintain our perspective. Do you know a lot of times in life, especially in the middle of the year, you know, you get all charged up at the beginning of the year and excited about, new spiritual growth in your life and what you're doing and your aspirations, your dreams, your plans, your goal for the new year. But for some reason or another, we have a tendency to lose our perspective on things. And when we do that, we become like the man that Peter talks about here. He says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin." You see, there are a lot of people who close their eyes to their sin. Now, I'm not saying you walk up to the mirror and you do this. I'm not saying you open your Bible and you do this. But what I am saying is that you close your eyes, spiritually speaking, to your sin. You do. And to maintain our perspective, as I'm suggesting this morning, intentionally not seeing our sin and intentionally not remembering our sin, why, it will not work. Does not work. Not in sight of Almighty God. I like what Paul writes in the Philippian letter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 is a powerful passage. One of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. Paul makes this statement. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." If you were reading another translation, that translation might render it this way: "I haven't already arrived at where I want to be." In other words, I'm not there yet. And he says, notice this, "but this one thing I do." Notice that. He didn't say a multiplicity of things I'm getting ready to do. But he says, this one thing, I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul did that. He was constantly teaching people about God. He believed in spreading the gospel of Christ. That was priority with him. It was. And you know what? It should be with every Christian. It should be with every preacher. But it should be with every Christian as well. A few years ago, we developed a website called the Crockett Road Church of Christ.org or .com, either one. Jim Davis serves as our webmaster and does a tremendous job. And I'm so thankful for Jim and what he does. And he told me just the other day that in that span of time, over the last few years that we've had it, we have had over 24,000 visits to our website. And just this year alone, over 8,000 who have visited our website, interested in the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you, if you've never visited our website, you need to do that. It's a tremendous tool. I'm telling you, you just would not believe what all is on our website. I'm honest in telling you that. It is a powerful tool being used by God to reach other people with the gospel of Christ. And I can tell you that was the mentality of the Apostle Paul. He put everything in priority. He did. He measured the progress in his own life. And he maintained his perspective all through life. He did. The Bible says that we must walk in the Spirit. not just talk in the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. The Bible says they that are the sons of God are led by God. And the Bible says if sons and heirs, heirs to what? The promises of God that belong to us. Again, the process is priority. Make the promises of God priority in your life. Measure your progress and maintain your perspective. You know what, every one of us, and you may be here this morning, you may not be a Christian, I'm telling you the most important thing you could do this morning is connect. Connect with God who created all things. We hear a lot about connections today. People talk about the fact that, they like to connect with their friends and they like to connect with certain organizations. And you know what? We need to connect to one another as God's people. We do. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." When you were born, you were innocent to sin. You were. Zechariah said, "I was created upright from my mother's womb." David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That is, in a sinful world. And James gives the process for sinful living. James chapter 1, verse 12 and following. "But when you came to know sin, and you turned away from God, you were in a lost condition. But God, in His grace and His mercy, wants to rescue you and save you. But you must turn back to Him." You remember when you were in that state of innocency? When you were a child, a baby born into this world, you were innocent. That's why Christ said, "Allow the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." We are nestled in His hands, in the greatest hands of the world, the hands of God. But sometimes we take ourselves out of His hand. You see, Jesus says, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. You are secure in the hands of God. But we can take ourselves out of the hands of God. And we do. But how do we connect with Christ? If all of this is true, and what I've been saying this morning, I believe is true. How do we really connect with God? Well, according to the Bible, we connect with God in Christ and even the Holy Spirit through our belief in Christ as the Son of God and by being baptized for the remission of sin. It is not one excluding the other. It is not just by belief, and it is not just by being baptized, but it is by the combination of both. And Christ said it very plainly in the book of Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. When He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Salvation comes as a result of our connecting unto God. It does. You see, someday Jesus is going to come in the clouds of heaven. And the Bible says that every eye will see Him. Have you ever thought about what a majestic, monumental moment that will be? If God allows us to live to see the coming of Jesus, could very well. We may meet our earthly demise before that happens. And if it does, we'll still see Jesus. But can you imagine here upon this earth the grandeur and the glory of the Son of God coming again? When Gabriel blows that trumpet and the dead in Christ arise, and we who are alive are changed, and we are called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says not a few eyes, but every eye shall see Him, Revelation 1 and verse 7. And the question I ask you this morning in closing is this question. Will you connect with the Lord Jesus this morning? I could ask you, Will you connect with Jesus tomorrow or next week? But the time of connecting might be over. There may no longer be an opportunity to connect. There is this morning. There is. Why would anyone not want to connect to the greatest power this world has ever known or will ever know? The power to have all of your sin forgiven. That's God's power. No man can't take it away. You can't erase it. You can't dream it away. You can't fantasize it away. But God can remove it. He can take it away. But the Bible in the book of Romans says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin, but serve God. And God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that has been delivered unto you, and you became the servants of righteousness. The way to connect with Christ is at the foot of the cross, and He's waiting right now for that connection to take place. But He's waiting. He's waiting. And your choice to do so rests with you. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian and you desire to obey the gospel and become His child and lay claim to these wonderful promises we've been talking about here this morning, it's up to you. It's your choice. I hope this morning that you make the right choice while we stand and while we sing.